is big.
Yeah,
oh my.
It's supposed to be.
It's a wasp.
It's a wasp, not a mosquito.
Here, I'll kill it.
Does it come down?
I got no care.
Oh, where he is now.
No care.
We gotta find him. He's a,
no.
He's angry now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can smack him.
He put a papal curse on you.
Where'd he go? Oh, he's up in the chancel.
He's no more or less angry than your average cousin.
He's in the chancel.
Oh, I see him. I can spray him. I can find his way.
And 30 miles away. I can
hold it. What am I going to do now?
I'll go wait for him.
Kill him.
Yeah, maybe you'll go out the door if you can open it up a little bit.
And then no, they're not that smelly. There he goes.
I think
he
got it.
I did. So I can switch him.
I was getting rid of all the traitors today.
Well, I don't know what it is. I'm really just like it.
That's animal cruelty.
Okay, sue me.
We gotta stop insect immigration. They have no place in our nature. We gotta stop insect immigration. Come on, Jake, it's my wife. Hi, Paul. How are you?
The world is now safe for democracy again.
But we're not really sure if he's dead or not.
He's as good as dead.
I think that's murder.
Good.
Well, their worldview. We have to destroy their worldview.
Who's talking?
Jacob.
Oh. Are you talking to us, Jacob?
Yeah, the wasp.
We can't hear you very well. We're are you feeling sorry for the wasp?
No. I'm saying we have to destroy their worldview. You can't destroy all the wasps, but you have to change them.
Best wishes on that one.
He said we can't kill them all, there are too many, but we can change their world view.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, we have to. First, we have to put the hearts and minds of other insects.
Yes. All right, so you there, Paul? Can I hear you there?
Excuse me?
I just want to make sure you're connected, Paul. Can you hear okay?
A little bit, Dan. I can hear a little bit, not too much. A little bit.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, wait, how are you, ma'am?
I think I'm all right.
Okay. We're just trying to get rid of some wasps there.
Yes.
It's all
very exciting free game.
Yes, it is.
Which wasn't for halftime.
We'll figure out what happened. I'm sure we will.
We have to use chemical warfare on them.
Chemical warfare?
No, Barbara used her mighty right arm.
Oh, your right arm.
Barbara's the one. She's the one. Bill tried, but he was too tender-hearted.
I just couldn't bring myself to murder that poor insect.
Right, come!
What?
Sounds like it's a...
That was okay. So, you might could. Guess I can be
hungry. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
You're not in your chair. No, I was suggesting, I was told how cold I was back there. I was suggesting I move or move.
Oh, well, hopefully I'll be able to get you in the video when this is going to be you.
That's a new?
That's a move around.
You'll get to see me better.
And so we're on Acts chapter 18 tonight. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the afternoon. We do ask that would allow us to be able to concentrate on this chapter, help us to be able to understand some things from the book of Acts that we haven't seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts chapter 18. Paul, you have a question?
Excuse me?
Do you have a question, Paul?
No, I don't know right now.
Okay. Did you have a question, Jacob?
Were we supposed to have questions?
Just a moment, Jake. I thought I heard somebody on the phone say something, so I was trying to ask if he was trying to say something. That's all. Paul,
I wondered if you were running a big leaf blower in there.
No, the big leaf blower is outside. Should we bring it in here?
Here what?
I said, should we bring the leaf blower inside?
It's brilliant.
That's what this is what it sounds like on the outside.
Oh.
If we brought it inside, Jacob, it would be really, really loud.
Oh.
And really windy.
I guess this is the better thing. Yeah, I guess it's better than
bringing it in. Oh, I've been corrected. It's not a leaf blower, Jacob.
Oh.
It's a lawnmower.
Oh, well, that's all right.
It's a lawnmower.
All right, never mind.
You want us to bring the lawnmower inside and see what it sounds like? No.
So that's all wrong.
Okay,
I guess this is too good.
It seems to have quieted down. The lawnman is out with the lawnmower. He comes here regularly.
Okay, good. So let's start Acts chapter 18 here. Mrs. Grummer, you want to start? With verse 1, please. Read verse 1.
Right. After these, Paul departed, came to Corinth.
Yes, we're getting every other word.
Not a certain Aquila, born in Pont, believed, which is right. We had sent commanded all, or from Rome, came unto them.
All right. Paul, verse 3. Paul's here today. Paul, verse 3, please. About Acts 18.
And because he was in the same prayer, he abode with them and brought for by their occupation they were admitted.
Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks.
And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ.
And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.
Jacob, it's your turn. Verse 7.
Okay, and he went and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined ours in the synagogue.
Is your mother here?
Yes.
Okay.
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
Good.
All right, Paul, you go to verse 9, we'll stop there.
Okay, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. But God, be not afraid, but speak and hold.
All right, good. So that's 9 verses there. We were having a little bit of a technical problem with not the lawnmower, but with something here in the house that's in the office in the room here that wasn't working quite right, but it seems to be working a little bit better. So when we see what Paul's doing here, after these things, the things that are happening in the previous chapter, Paul departed from Athens, which is down here. And he goes to Corinth. So he was in Athens, and then he comes down to Corinth, which is Corinth is right here. From Athens to Corinth. Now, each one of these cities and places that Paul goes, they have a different culture, different characteristics. I mean, there are some things that are in common. There's a level of commonality, something that is very common among them. But yet there are things that are different. So he leaves Athens. That's where he had the Marcel encounter. You know, when he encountered these people that had this idol to the unknown gods. And so he leaves Athens and comes to Corinth. Now, Bill, you want to do question 2, please?
Where was Aquila born? What was his wife's name? Who told him to leave Rome? Pontius was where Aquila was born. Priscilla was his wife's name, and Claudius was the one that told him to leave Rome.
Yes, and so they were being basically pushed out of Rome. So they left Rome, part of Rome, some of the Jews that came with him. Now, we see here, Barbara.
Claudius issued an edict in 52 AD to get rid of the Jews in Rome. They were back 5 years later because Paul tells them to greet Priscilla and Aquila, who are back in Rome, I think chapter 16 or something.
Mm-hmm. So that's we're in here with this decree. That's going. Now, we see here that Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul, that they have something in common. And what they have in common is they are all three of them are tent makers. They make actual, sometimes you hear the word tent making. Well, in this time period, in the first century, they literally made tents. A lot of people would live in tents, more so then than today. People don't. I mean, there are some elements of people, Bedouins, and some groups of people that live in tents today. People that go camping, but usually in our culture today, we have houses, and someone that builds a house is very important in our culture. Houses are very important in our culture, whether it's a new house or a used house or an old house, a pre-owned house, whatever however you want to describe it. A house that's 100 years old. My house is 100 years old that I live in, over 100 years old, built before World War I, in fact. But old house, but it's still around today. Now, tents were needed in Paul's day, in Aquila's day, Priscilla's day, and Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers. They shared the same occupation. They had the same occupation. So Paul, since they had that in common, Paul was staying with them. Paul was living with them. I was abiding with them. Now, Mom, go to question four, please.
What did Paul do every Sabbath day? He reasoned in the synagogue with people.
Yes, right. He went to the synagogue. That's where the people were. He reasoned with the people in the synagogue. He was trying to convince them that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he was trying to persuade both the Jews and the Greeks that were there at the synagogue. And so we see in verse 5 that Silas, they came from Macedonia. Of course, we know that Macedonia was where they were earlier in chapter 16. But we see that they came from Macedonia. Paul testified that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. You see, we have these different people that are accompanying Paul with him. And sometimes there's different groups of people that come with him. Sometimes they're with him for extended periods of time. Sometimes they're with him for not as long of periods of time. But in this instance, we see here that both Silas and Timotheus are coming from Macedonia, which they were left. I think they were left there in Macedonia when Paul left. Paul left, and they came later on to where he was. Now, Brother Barber, question six, please.
In what manner did the Jews receive Paul, and what group of, and to what people group did Paul purpose to go? The Jews opposed and blasphemed, and he went to the Gentiles.
Okay, so again, all throughout the book of Acts, we notice there's resistance. The Jews who do not want to believe, the Jews that have chosen not to believe and accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, refuse to accept that he is the way, the truth, and the life, they are always having this opposition. They're always having this opposition and blasphemy. So they oppose, they shake the raiment, they do all sorts of things. And then Paul's response to them was, your blood is on your own hands. As you're rejecting the gospel, the blood's on your hands, and he determines no longer necessarily to focus on ministry to the Jews, but then he goes to the Gentiles. And so from there, from that point on, he departs, he goes to Justice's house, who's whose house is next to the synagogue, and Justice was one that worshiped God, probably one that accepted the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, Tammy, you want to do question 8, please?
Who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ? That was Christmas. He was the chief ruler of the synagogue, and he was baptized. As many of the Corinthians who believed.
All right, so we have here the chief ruler of the synagogue being becoming a believer, trusting Christ as Savior. And we also have, notice as many of the Corinthians who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior being baptized as well. And we see there in a night vision Paul had in verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in a night vision, and he told him not to be afraid, but speak. He told him, don't hold back your peace. Talk. Proclaim the gospel as you should proclaim the gospel. Don't limit the gospel outreach, but don't just hold back. But again, this is a vision that Paul had. Through the book of Acts, we see many people having visions and dreams. We see many things happening because this is a transitional time period. The time for visions has stopped when the canon of Scripture was closed about 90 to 100 AD, when Scripture was completed, when that which was perfect has come, then that which is part is no longer needed. And so, you know, when we understood in part, we didn't have everything. We had just part. But now that we have all of it, the entire whole of Scripture, we don't need to have these special sign gifts. So there are some people that believe that the sign gifts are still around today, but it's likely that those sign gifts have stopped at the completion when the canon was completed from 90 to 100 AD. Let's read verses 10 and following. Ms. Gerber, we'll start with you with verse 10, please.
For I am with thee, and no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city.
He continued there a year and months, teaching the word of God among them.
6 months.
And when Galileo was the deputy of Caesar, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat,
saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law."
Right, Mom, verse 14, please.
Okay. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you.
But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters."
Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of these things. So, looking back here with question 10, Mrs. Grummer, you want to look at question 10 for me, please?
Okay. How many people did the Lord have in Corinth? He had lots of people.
Much people. There were a lot of people here in Corinth that the Lord knew were going to be receptive to the gospel. A lot of people.
Yes, Pastor
Hamm? Yes, Jacob.
Yeah, what you were talking about with the signs and visions and the dreams that were early here in the book of Acts. That's always, you know, and we learned in that class that this was the way it was thing all the time. These were the baser means of communication with God. Like in the book, you see a lot of this also early. It's always like there's more specific revelation later, always. Anyway, and then all that's over with. The gospel's laid down, per se. Yeah.
And so we see here Paul remains here. He continues here in Corinth. For, you know, 1 year and 6 months. You know, for 18 months he was there, 1 year and 6 months. teaching the Word of God among them. And so we have, primarily we have the gospel being disseminated throughout the city of Corinth here. Now,
Corinth
is right there.
Okay.
It's Corinth. So, Jacob, do question 12 for me, please.
Okay, I got a certain page. Who was the deputy of Achaia? What did the Jews do? Deputy of Gallio?
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews made insurrection or against front of the judgment seat.
Okay, so they made instructions against Paul. And like you said, Jacob, they brought Paul to the judgment seat. And then the charge was, he says that this man, Paul, he's trying to convince men to worship God. And the Corinthians here, the people of Corinth, again, are saying, no, that's contrary to the law. You know, it's kind of barbaric.
It's contrary to Roman law. That was the Greek of it. It was contrary to the Roman law. That is, the religion was not a recognized religion. Judaism was a recognized religion in the Roman Empire, and, mm-hmm. and they were allowed to practice their own religion freely. Christianity, in its early stages, was considered, for lack of a better term, an offshoot, a sect of Judaism. So it was considered also recognized.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until later that they separated in the eyes of Rome. But so what they're telling them is that they're trying to worship God contrary to the religion that was accepted by Rome, which would have been Judaism. But it was a legal matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul, Bill.
I think also, contrary to the law, was the law of Moses, too. And a lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees opposed Christianity. And mm-hmm. people, they generally go to a priest to find out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an opinion of their own. They need to be told what to do.
Yep.
You see it today, and you've always seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews are that way. They'll follow mm-hmm. the rabbis. Do whatever the rabbi tells them to do, or the Catholics will go to the priest, and the priest will tell them anything, and then they'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just the way people are.
You know, so we do see the ones that are making insurrection, the Jews who are making insurrection against Paul, but they're bringing him to the judgment seat, in the secular judgment seat, and so Paul. Do question 14, please. Let me read it for you. Question 14, Paul, is based on verse 14, 18, 14. Who spoke just as Paul was about to open his mouth? This answer comes in verse 14, Paul.
And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of law or wickedness. Oh, ye Jews, reason with that I should bear with you.
All right. So now, so who opened his mouth? Just as Paul was about to speak.
Excuse me.
Who spoke just as Paul was about to open his mouth? What was that man's name?
Galileo.
That's right.
Galileo. Galileo was an astronomer.
Right. That's right. This is different.
Galileo.
This is somebody else. And so.
Yeah, Copernicus had it. Galileo was it.
Right. That's right, Jacob. So he. What he's saying, Galileo is saying. He's saying that if. If it's a matter of wrong or wickedness, you know, he would hear it. But it's not. is something else entirely. Something else entirely. And so, it says, he says in verse 15, he wasn't going to be judged. He says, but if it be a question of words and names and of your law, meaning of the Jewish law, look ye to it, for I will not be judge of such matters. So he wasn't going to, you know, again, this is the Jews trying to, again, get the government on their side to a certain degree, like they did in Jerusalem. And when it's there to an advantage to have the government on their side, they're all for it. That's what they were attempting to do. Bill, why don't you do question 16, please?
What did Gallio do with the Jews that were making insurrection? He drave them from the judgment seat.
Okay, so he didn't want to just push them away. He got them away from the judgment seat. And we see here what the Greeks' response. They took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and they beat him before the judgment seat. But again, the leader there, he wanted nothing to do with that. So he stepped back and just observed. Mrs. Grummer, Barbara, go ahead.
Gallio's action amounted to an authoritative decision that Paul's preaching was not subversive against Rome. This allowed Paul the freedom he needed to preach.
Right. So he wasn't opposed to it. Because from his standpoint, there was nothing that Paul had done wrong, as far as contrary, as far as the statute he had violated. The Jews were trying to make up some things, trying to make a point, but
just like they did with Jesus.
Right. That's right. Barbara.
Insurrection followed, or the alleged insurrection that Paul was trying to foment, according to the Jews.
Yes.
Would have been treasonable as a Roman citizen. He was worthy of death, which is what they were trying to get at the whole time. It's just, we got to get rid of this guy. And they were trying to do it legally.
Yes, they were. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead, pick up with reading verse 18, please.
And many that believed, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Caesarea, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow.
And he came to Epton there, himself entered into the target region.
All right, Paul, verse 20, please.
When they desired him to carry longer time, and he consented not.
But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus.
Verse 22, Mom.
And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch.
And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples.
And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus.
This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, not only of the baptism of John. So we see here that Sosthenes was chief ruler of the synagogue. And go ahead and do question 18 there, Mom, please.
18. To where did Paul sail? Syria. Who came with him? Silla and Aquila. What did he do in Cenchrea? Shaved his head and took a bow.
Okay, so we see here that Paul's going back to wants to make it to Jerusalem for a feast. So he's heading back. you know, across the going by the typical boat routes, heading back to Syria where the port is, I suppose, to make it back to eventually make it back to Jerusalem for that's where the feasts were being held. Now, when he arrived at Ephesus, when Paul arrived at Ephesus, he entered into the synagogue. This is Paul's custom. Whenever he goes into a city, he finds if there's a synagogue there, he'll go into the synagogue and he'll reason with the Jews, trying to let them know about the who the Lord Jesus Christ is, who the Messiah is. Barbara, you know, I want to do question number 20, please.
What did Paul consent not to do, Terry?
Yeah, he didn't want to wait. He wanted to, because he wanted to get, he needed to get back for the feast, and so as you see in verse 21, he was very urgent. He had his urgency about him to keep the feast. Now, in the previous verses, he made this vow, which whether he should have made the vow or not is another discussion. But because we're not under the law, we're under the grace, and then, so again, we have another thing he's going under. He's going to keep a feast, which he doesn't have to keep the feast. But he wants to keep the feast. He's going there to Jerusalem. Probably he wants to go to be around other Jews, be some type of a witness to these other Jews. But then he said he would come back. He couldn't spend much time at all in Ephesus, because he had to make it to Jerusalem to meet the feast, to keep the feast. Tammy, you want to do Barbara, go ahead, your thought?
I have heard that he had taken a Nazaritic vow.
Okay.
Is that...
I mean, some people have said that. Some people have said that. What have you heard about that, Tammy?
My understanding is with the Nazarite vow, it was when it was over, it shaved their head.
Okay.
So I don't see how it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Nazarene. Number 618, and the Nazarite shall shave the head of the separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he'll put it in the fire.
At the end.
He did this in Sinai, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. So... If he would have gone to Jerusalem, if you fulfill your vow at the temple, yes?
I think he was, well, it's possible that's true, but if he was going, primary reason for going to the temple was for the feast. Can we do question 22, Tammy, please?
In what city was shipped off into Syria? Into what city did Paul go? He went to Antioch, the Syrian church.
Okay, so he wanted to go back home to Antioch, and then he also went to the provinces of Galatia and Phrygia as well. He wanted to encourage and strengthen the men, women that were there. There were Christians. Mrs. Gormer, do question 24, please.
Okay. To what purpose? Oh, 24. In what city was Apollos born, and what was he mighty? He was born at Alexandria, and he was very mighty in the scriptures.
Yes, right down there in
Egypt.
Alexandria, Egypt. That's where he was born at. And he was mighty in the scriptures. He knew the scriptures.
Apollos.
Now, Apollos was limited in the sense that all he knew about, yes, we know he was instructed into the Lord, he was fervent in spirit, but all he knew about was the baptism of John. So he did not know about other things. He did not know, so he was limited in his knowledge, but he didn't know about certain things. And so, these are the people that are great people to talk to, that have a certain knowledge, that are continually looking for information and want the truth, but the truth has never been revealed to them. But now Apollos will get the truth revealed to him by pursuing Aquila. Barbara.
He only knew the baptism of John, which is based upon repentance and not faith.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the baptism of John is a baptism of repentance. I mean, you'll see this continually throughout these different regions of the Mediterranean basin, where Paul, different places that Paul goes. Ephesus had the same. Every place, maybe every place, most places that have an understanding of the baptism of John, maybe lack an understanding of the whole concept of the Messiah being the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did have this element of the baptism of John. Mrs. Gorman, let's read some more verses. Verse 26, please.
What did Aquila and Priscilla expect? Oh, read it?
Yeah, read it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
What is it, 26?
Yeah.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him up to them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace.
And Paul, verse 28, please.
For he mightily convinced the Jews, and not publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
All right, Tammy.
Wouldn't that last statement showing that Jesus was Christ, he wouldn't have known until Crystal and Aquila had explained it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was only preaching the baptism.
Yes.
He didn't know anything about Jesus Christ.
No, he didn't. So he had to be shown.
Right, so it's amazing that at this point he understood. They really taught him well.
Right, mm-hmm. They did.
He is, no.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They did teach him well. Jacob, I want to do question 26, please.
What did Aquila say to Apollos? The way of God perfectly.
The way of God more perfectly. He had a limited understanding of the way of God. And that understanding was broadened because of what Priscilla and Aquila were able to do, show them to take the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, and show them the way of God more perfectly. And so we see here the type of help that Apollos offered the disciples. He gave a lot of help. He was very helpful. And he helped in many different ways. And Paul, question 28 is, what did Apollos demonstrate to the Jews? This answer comes from verse 28, Paul. But the question is, what's the answer? What did Apollos do to demonstrate to the Jews? What did he demonstrate to the Jews?
Showing that Jesus was Christ.
Right. And from this, based upon the scriptures. That's what he did. Right?
Does everybody know that they were reading the Old Testament?
Yes, the Old Testament scriptures. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Question 29, please.
Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.
So be not afraid. God had promised to be with him. Question 30, Mom, please.
In what chapter of the book of Acts is Simon the sorcerer and the Ethiopian eunuch mentioned? And what happened to these two men? I'm not sure this is right. Acts 8.
Okay, that's right. Acts 8 is right.
I forget what happened. I didn't write down what happened to these two men.
What do you remember? What do you remember about the Ethiopian?
Well, the Ethiopian eunuch got saved.
Okay. And what do we know about Simon?
Simon.
In verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And so he wanted to.
Was Simon the one?
He wanted to be able to buy the power by laying hands on people that you could give, distribute the Holy Spirit.
They were both baptized,
yeah.
Then, too.
Yeah, I think that's what I said about Simon. Yeah, so they were both Simon was I believe both of them eventually trusted Christ as Savior. You know, the Ethiopian unity is clearer. But then,
not only for salvation,
yes.
But salvation came first.
Yes, salvation comes first.
They were both baptized.
Yes, they were. Barbara.
You dunk a wet baby, you can baptize a baby, come up with a wet baby.
See, you do.
But Simon never confessed that Christ was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as his believing goes, the devils believe and tremble. If it just says Simon believed, the devils believe. You know, we're going to go.
Yeah, devils believe in Trump. Yes, that's right. You're right. Okay. You're right.
I'm still not convinced he did, because he never confessed. He was all after the power. He never humbled himself. The Ethiopian eunuch humbled
himself.
He did.
I mean,
Simon never did.
I mean, verse 13, but you made the point about the devils believing. But then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And wonder, beholding the miracles and signs that were done, which were done. And so I think we're giving him a, as a new Christian, as an immature Christian, coming from, of course, you would think he wanted to abandon all the stuff he was doing before, but still, he was surprised. He thought it interesting. I mean, when he saw it, he wanted to get money for it. He wanted that power in verse 19. But Peter's response was, "Thy money perish with you, because the gift of God may not be purchased with money." Bill.
Yes, according to what you just read there, he came to belief just before he was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Two acts happened pretty close together.
Mm-hmm. And in verse 22, Peter says, "Repent, because he sinned." I mean, we all sin. And he says, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray to God. It perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee."
But he didn't repent.
No. But he asked for prayer. Tim, go ahead.
Christians have to repent.
Yes.
It's not. It's a change of mind, and he thought that what he was doing was wrong, but he had to realize that it was sin.
Right, he did. Mm-hmm. He did have to. He says, then answer Simon. This is the response of Simon, verse 24, and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me."
Which is going to a priest. That's which is very, very pagan and very occultic. That you have an intercessor.
Yeah, we don't need an intercessor. There's one guy, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But sometimes we get asked people to pray for us. I'm not sure if Simon was confessing. Peter, he says, Peter identified his problem, and he pointed out his sin, and then Simon says, "Well, I don't want this to happen to me. Please pray for me." But he needed to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Tammy.
Well, sometimes if you're struggling with a sin, you need to talk to someone about it, and they pray for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, yes, that's what
he was saying. Verse 24. So, I mean, there are some that or there is a dispute. I said, say whether Simon was a genuine believer or not. Barbara.
He would have not come down through the annals of the occult and witchcraft if he had become a Christian. His name would have been blotted out.
Okay, but.
If he had become a Christian, his name would not have come down to the annals of the occult and witchcraft as being a great sorcerer.
Did he make that?
So you're saying, Barbara, in extra biblical sources we have the name Simon from the first century being mentioned? Okay. So, do question 31, Barbara, please.
Where in the book of Acts does one read of a dispute Barnabas and Paul had over John Mark, and what resulted from their disagreement? It's chapter 15.
Yes, it is.
And Paul took Silas and went to Syria, and Cilicia, and Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus.
That's correct. And Tammy, question 22. 32, I'm sorry, 32.
And what chapter of the book of Acts did one read of Peter and John responding to the council with the words, "For repent and speak, the ones of you have seen each other"?
It's 420. This is grammar question 33, please.
Where in the book of Acts does one read of persecuting Christians fleeing to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch? 11:19.
Yeah, 11, chapter 11, verses 19. Now when they were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Venice and Cyprus and Antioch, preached the word to none but to the Jews only. And some of them went to Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So this persecution that came upon the church, it caused the church to be forced out of Antioch and Jerusalem and go all over the Mediterranean basin, more or less, eventually bringing the gospel with them. Jacob, you want to do question 34, please?
Pastor Dan.
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce that word. Is that Phoenice or Phoenice or Phoenice? That sound there.
You're doing fine, Jacob, with any of those choices. Phoenice, I guess?
Phoenice.
Phoenice?
I looked it up.
You looked it up, good. So we have someone looked it up, Jacob. Phoenice. Phoenice. How to say Phoenice? Yes. But I like how you say it, Jacob.
Because I'll get it wrong. Anyway,
swallow the mouse or wiggle the mouse. But it has nothing to do with you, Jacob.
Well, sustenance.
Yeah.
Sustenance. I'm sorry. 18, chapter 18, verse 17.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's chapter 18, that's right. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters, and drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Question 35, Paul.
Okay.
Question 35 is, where in the book of Acts did Stephen deliver his last sermon?
Chapter 7.
That's right, Paul. Chapter 7 is it. Bill, question 36.
In what chapter of the book of Acts do Barnabas and Paul proclaim, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God"? I didn't look it up, so I hope I have the
okay.
answer.
Let me read the verse here. It's in Acts chapter 14, the context of the verses. And they call Barnabas, which you're familiar with the passage, I'm sure, Bill. They call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, cried out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We have like men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." Mom, verse, question 37, please.
Where in the book of Acts does one read of a former lame man leaping, walking, and praising God? Acts 3:11.
Acts 3, that's correct. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping stood up. He leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So it's Acts chapter 3. Now, Barbara, question 38, please.
In what chapter of the book of Acts does one read of Peter saying, "Stand up, thou also and the man, and to whom did he say these words?" Chapter 10, and he said it to Cornelius.
That's right, chapter 10. You know, and in chapter 10, he said it to Cornelius. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and their friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and saying, "Stand up by myself also and a man." Tammy, question 39, please.
Where in the book of Acts, if Paul preaches sermon on Mars Hill, Acts 17:22.
And for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious, for I passed by and behold your devotion. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So that's in Acts chapter 17. Mrs. Grimmer, question 40, please.
Okay, 40. In what chapter of the book of Acts are the seven deacons selected among, and then the second one is among the seven who are the two most known? Why are they the most known? The answer is chapter 6, and 2 would be Stephen and Philip, and 3, Stephen was the first martyr recorded, and Philip because he went to be an evangelist.
That's right, and so in chapter 6, the reason why we have the deacons, beginning of chapter 6, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Question 41, Jacob.
In what chapter book of Acts is the day of Pentecost sermon recorded, and what was some special place on that day? That would be Acts chapter. And the Holy Ghost poured out the indwelling ribs and filling in the also. Did you say 40? Well, you said, I'm sorry. Okay, who is Sergius? The one in the book Acts, does one read about him? Acts 13:7-12. I'm sorry, I asked.
That's right, Acts chapter 13. That's right, Jacob, Acts 13. Paul, question 42. Let me read the question to you, Paul. In what chapter of the book of Acts is Peter's day of Pentecost sermon recorded? And what was something special that took place? What chapter, Paul?
Acts chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2. What's something special that happened during the day of Pentecost, Paul?
I have to go back and read that. I
don't
remember what it was.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right, Paul?
Pardon me?
And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Christians there in the upper room and there for the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of, as of a rushing wind, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Bill, question 43, please.
Yeah. What happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? And two, where in the book of Acts is it first recorded? Paul was blinded by light from Jesus.
Yes.
fell down, and then he asked him what he should do, and then Jesus told him who he was, and then he told Paul to go to Damascus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He was headed there to begin with, and he went into the city. In Acts 9,
yep.
And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters up to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Mom, question 44, please.
Where in the book of Acts does one read of Paul and Silas entering the house of Lydia after being released from jail in Philippi?
Acts 16:40. Acts 16, that's good. But Paul said to them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they had, and they went out of the prison, and then entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Barbara, question 45, please.
In what chapter of the book of Acts did Peter and the apostles say we ought to obey God rather than men? And to whom did they say it? Chapter 5 instead of to the Sanhedrin?
Chapter 5. Then went the captain and the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they say, set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did I not surely command you, ye should not teach in his name, in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Tammy, question 46, please.
Where in the book of Acts does one read of a prayer meeting being held at John Mark's mother's house? In Acts chapter 12, verses 3 to 17, verse 5 specifically. And what were they praying for? For Simon Peter's release from prison.
That's right. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But it actually was Peter himself. Mrs. Grummer, question 47, please.
Okay, 47?
47, yes.
What type did Apollos offer the disciples in Arkea? He helped them push the ones that believed through grace.
And so in question, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, we have Matthias being mentioned. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day when he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And he appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take the part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Jacob, a question for you, please. He hasn't read it yet. He hasn't talked yet. So, question 48, Jacob.
What is something you have begun to appreciate even more after reviewing Acts chapter 18? Pastor Dan, this is a hard one because recently I just went to Acts 20. I realized the question, on chapter 15, so maybe by chapter 28 I'll know the answer to this one.
Okay.
Did I answer the wrong question?
Paul, how about you? Question 48. What is something you've begun to appreciate more after reviewing Acts chapter 18?
What I get appreciated is this day, and I've asked Lewis to say, for he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing on the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
That's good. Good, Paul. How about you, Paul? Question 48.
Seeing the resistance of the Jews at this point, we've seen in previous chapters a lot of people accepting the word.
Yes.
But here we're seeing a lot of opposition to it. And it just makes me wonder, you know, there's so much evidence to support Jesus being the Christ. Why do people keep denying it?
Right.
You know, that's the most, the thing that sticks with me the most anyway.
Mom, question 48.
Well, I think it was good to meet again about Paul's salvation.
Yes.
And Paul's life was completely changed. And another thing, today, wherever he went, he seemed to go into the synagogue, or he went someplace to start teaching about the Lord Jesus. He must have known the Old Testament very well, and he would show the people that this Jesus Christ, whom he's talking about, was the one prophesied in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And he was unafraid to witness strong in the midst of the people who disagreed with him very much. So he was very brave, Paul was, after he got saved.
Very bold. Very bold. Barbara, your thoughts about question 48?
And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Athens was the seat, had been for centuries, of the greatest intellectual learning of the age.
Mm-hmm.
He went from there to Corinth, which was fabulously wealthy. It was the Paris of its day. It was full of sensuality. It had a temple to Aphrodite, better known as Venus. It was 400 feet long, 200 feet wide, and 100 feet tall. It had 1,000 priestesses attached to it who were considered little goddesses. And the men who went into them became gods. And in this middle of this Hellenistic culture, because they also had the Ismanian games there every 2 years.
Which games?
Ismanian. Ismanian. I can't say it. Paul preached the gospel. And the Lord told him, I have much people in this city. In the midst of all of this horribleness, that there was no other temple like this in Greece, and people came from all over the world to worship here, that the gospel took, that the decadence of the Hellenistic culture lost its appeal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the history and the culture that's going on at this point in time just rocks my mind.
So the gospel was stronger than
yes.
The beauty of the emptiness, the vanity, so to speak, of Corinth. Tim, your thoughts about question 48?
I don't know. I've kind of picked up a little bit on what everybody said, but it's interesting that in the last several chapters we've seen more and more,
mm-hmm.
you know, Paul is preaching to the Jews, and more they're rejecting and stirring up trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that the one, we know two men that got saved, or that were saved, Justus and Crispus.
Mm-hmm.
And Crispus was the chief ruler of the synagogue.
Yes, he was.
And what's interesting is that, you know, the Lord gave Paul encouragement. You know, he told him, you know, need to fear, because I have much people in the city, and basically I'm going to watch out for you, I'm going to protect you. And he had gotten to the point where he had concluded that the Jews weren't going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though at this point, that's where God began even more to blame the eyes of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go to, I mean, I'm not sure, I would have to look in the next chapters, but it'd be interesting to see if he went to, at least in Corinth, he didn't go to the,
mm-hmm.
the Jews. But maybe he didn't after that at all. I mean, we know he went to the feast. We know he still loved his people. You know, yeah,
right.
It's his heart's desire that they mm-hmm. would be saved. But, you know, there was a mystery that it talks about in Romans 11, the mystery of the church age. And I'm going to read this, Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest that you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And what's interesting is it does seem like this Sosthenes that they beat actually became saved.
Yes.
Because he's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Sosthenes, we don't know absolutely if it could be a different Sosthenes, but
right. mm-hmm.
it's very possible it's that one, especially since the chief ruler of the synagogue was saved
yes.
initially,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you would think he would have a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so those are some of my thoughts.
Good, well, thank you. And Mrs. Vermeer, how about you? So, Vox, you have questions 48.
That, like, okay, like the Lord told Paul not to be afraid to say what he had to say, like,
mm-hmm.
that people were not afraid to speak, that they were not afraid to speak out what they felt and what should be spoken.
So, any more thoughts or observations we have about this, this chapter 18? Well, not believe on a closing prayer, please.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the lessons that you give us each week. We thank you for this Bible because it is the source of all that we learn of you and of the apostles and all the people we can know of Jesus Christ on this earth. For this we thank you. We thank you for the salvation that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
How is John?
I tried. I left a message. I didn't get any response.
Oh, excuse me, Dan.
Yes, that's Paul.
Can you
please have a Christmas? Yeah, I'll leave one back in the back for you, Paul, okay?
All right, thank you very much, Dan.
You're welcome.
Where is he laying?
He's a little thin right now. I need to make it.
She's back. Okay, tell her we miss her. But it was nice having you there, ruling the questions. Good.
Which one do you want to get put it on? Six?
Five.
Five?
Yes, please.
Okay.
How many do you want?
Okay.
There's 69 all 6. I know
you're all
6. That's
your name.
Yes,
sir. What's the
matter? That's your name. I'm sorry, Jacob. I'm not sure I'm... I'll let you call for a second, so I can phone. Jacob, you had a question, did you?
That's a new wrinkle with that noise.
That is all right.